Hello, America. This is the place for uncensored talk on everything that divides us as a nation. I'm Alan Jacoby, and welcome to The Great Divide. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Hope you all had a good week. I got a question. Maybe someone can answer it. Maybe it's a question you have in your head, but where is our president? Where is President Biden? Where is he? Who's calling the shots? Is he in charge? It's scary. I mean, who is calling the shots from the White House? I don't truly believe it's President Biden. Is it the Vice President? Is it Susan Rice? Who knows? Maybe we're all fooled. Maybe Jen Psaki's the, you know, de facto president of the United States and we don't know it. The circle back girl. I don't know. President Biden, he's no problem opening the borders, keeping schools closed. We're going to open the borders. We're going to keep schools closed. That's the priority right now of this administration, of the Democrats in general. Open borders, because we know what that leads to with their H.R. 1 bill that they're fighting desperately to get signed into law. Get the illegals in. Get them to the DMV. Get them licenses. And under this H.R. 1, that'll give them automatic voter registration. Of course, as a Democrat, we know that'll happen. I'll say it, and I'll sound like a broken record. It's a recruitment drive for the Democratic Party, but we can't get schools open. We cannot open schools for ridiculous reasons, because the Biden administration is, you know, owned somewhat by the teachers' unions because they don't want to go back to work. It's all nonsense, people. Migrants are coming in. They're coming in without COVID tests, and they're just being released into the country. Not only that. Down in Brownsville, Texas, there was like 100-plus migrants. You got to feel bad for them, too. They don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. But there's a process, and our process is completely broken. They're down in Brownsville, Texas, and they're released into our country, and they all come up with positive COVID tests. It's irony into Texas, Brownsville, Texas. It's like They want to keep this virus going for whatever reason. It just makes you think. I'm not into conspiracy theories or bullshit lies. It's just, it makes you, what's the bigger picture here? And again, our president is nowhere to be found. No press conference, no solo public addresses, no comments, no the engagements with the press are limited or next to nothing. Who's in charge? Airstrikes in the Middle East. Vice President, she's left in the dark about said airstrike, apparently. That's got to tell you, what kind of relationship does our president and vice president have? Because I think it's obvious, not very good, and it's all political and bullshit. You know, she doesn't like Joe Biden. She called him out on the campaign trail during the primaries that he was, you know, basically a sexual predator, and that she believed the women who made these accusations. It's very quiet, very quiet at the White House. Nobody seems to know what's really going on. And the mouthpiece, the redhead, Jen Psaki, I mean, that's the mouthpiece. That's the spokesperson, the press secretary for the president of the United States. I mean, it's embarrassing. She is condescending to reporters. She's condescending to the previous administration to the point where she's sharing her own views. I mean, she makes that evident. It's scary because we're hearing her talk. We're hearing other people in the administration talk. We're seeing the Democrats and Republicans fight like cats and dogs in Congress. We're hearing from all of them. They're all utilizing their platforms to talk to the American people on both sides. Where is our president? Is he a napper? Is he taking a nap? Does he nap a lot? I know he goes to bed early. What's going on? It's scary. This is the leader of the free world, the most powerful man in the world, and us as American citizens, we're not hearing from him. Back to Kamala Harris and not liking Joe Biden. I mean, she did an interview and she was asked, well, now you're going to be the vice president running mate, or I don't think she was elected yet. And she was asked, like, you weren't very cordial during the debates. And Kamala, in that sinister laugh she has, that cackle that I like to call it, she goes, oh, it was just politics. It was just politics. Now you're the vice president, United States of America. Second in command to a man that you looked at as a racist, a sexist, a misogynist, a sexual predator. It doesn't make sense. None of this makes sense. And the more I think about it, the more I get concerned. And I'm one of those people, you know, I tend to not care about things that I just can't control. And I have my voice, obviously, I speak my mind, but there are just things what are you going to do? It's really starting to hit home with me. Like, what are we doing? What are we going to do? What is happening to our country? Moderate Joe Biden was what he claimed to always be, has completely done a 360 and turned into radical Joe Biden. But I don't think he did it on his own, because someone powerful on the left is pulling the strings. And maybe it's that psycho George Soros. Who knows? Somebody has their hand so far up that old senile man's ass and pulling his strings, just using him like a puppet, and it's scary. His cognitive decline is evident. It's evident. Go on YouTube and look at Joe Biden. Go 15 years ago, 10 years ago to now, and how he speaks. He can't speak. He forgets where he is. He can't even get prominent politicians' names right in speeches. And then he says, he closes his eyes and makes a face and grimaces and says, what am I doing here? What are you doing here, President Biden? What are you doing? Where is our country? I feel like it's just becoming, it's getting torn apart. Congress is just running amok. It's insanity, and you really have to stop and think, and you have to pay attention. These radical bills, this radical legislation that keeps coming up in the House, and the House is voting it through. And you thank God for the filibuster. I hope it works with whatever they could throw at it. This HR 1 with the election, devastating to our country. This COVID bill, this $1.9 trillion COVID bill, there's hundreds of millions of dollars in there that can't be spent until 2022, and I think some until 2024. How is that COVID relief? You're an American looking for that COVID relief. You're getting a $1,400 check. It's something like 9% of this COVID bill is going to COVID relief. Where is all this money going? And where's all the surplus from the last COVID package? But Democrat Americans, just people registered as Democrats who support the Democratic Party, think it's great and that their leadership is doing something for them, and that the Republicans are the bad guys because we're trying to stop it. They're trying to stop it. They're trying to stop the ridiculous spending. There shouldn't be $16 billion in a COVID relief bill going to farmers. Historically, it was written historically biased, minority, disadvantaged farmers, okay, for loan forgiveness. Oh, at 120%. 120% is written into the bill. This means if you are you're a poor farmer, minority, whether it's African American, Hispanic, whatever it is, you're entitled to this loan forgiveness up to 120%. If you are a rich, wealthy African American, Hispanic farmer, you still qualify for the loan forgiveness at 120%. That whole provision of the bill is based on race. Because poor white farmers are not entitled to the loan forgiveness under that provision. So, but rich black and Hispanic farmers are. That's in a COVID relief bill. That has nothing to do with COVID relief. You want to do something for loan forgiveness for farmers? There's a bill for that. And that's the problem with these bills. They dress them up, people. They dress them up to make it look good to their constituents, to get the support from the American people so the pressure goes where it needs to go and they can get it passed. It's politics. And it's all bullshit. $1,400, $1.9 trillion, almost $2 trillion. Where's all our money going? You know, again, it's just radical. The left has become this radical movement. They want big government control, socialism. We're on the path. The dirt road has been built. The trees have been cleared, and we have a dirt road waiting for asphalt to that journey to big government control, higher taxes, a socialist America. And if you think I'm crazy for saying it, you're an idiot. Open your eyes. Do a little research. Read these bills coming down the pike because they affect everybody. They affect you. They affect me. Whether middle class, upper class, it affects every single person. Back to this president we have who hasn't held a press conference. Nothing. He can't take questions because he can't answer them off the cuff. If he's not on a teleprompter, which he struggles with, he's a sponge. He's just a wet sponge. He's useless. Obama held a press conference in his first 20 days. Trump held a press conference in his first 27 or 28 days. Joe Biden's been president of the United States for almost, we're creeping up on 50 days right now. No solo press conference. Nothing. But since he's been in, since January 20th, we've had this flurry of executive orders. He went crazy in the Oval Office, signing with his mask on at the Oval Office, half of which he didn't know what he was signing. He even said, "What is this I'm signing?" Just sign it, old man. Just sign it. Yeah, you're doing great. Just put your John Hancock right here. We'll do the rest. Are you kidding me? This is what the most prosperous and powerful government in the world. This is what it's come down to. How did this change overnight? I can't, the more I think about it, I can't believe that 80 million people voted for this administration. I can't believe it. They can't be 80 million fucking idiots in the United States of America that bought into this bullshit. And if there truly is, it's beyond sad. It's debilitating. But I don't believe it. I don't believe there's 80 million people that voted for this. Just this old man. I just don't. That's a whole other story. You know, you say the wrong thing and you're called a conspiracy theorist. You're called a insurrectionist. You're called a liar. Well, first of all, I don't give a shit what you call me or what you think of me. It really makes no difference to me. I embrace the hatred towards me. If everybody likes me, I don't think I'm doing everything quite right. That's just the way I operate. It's right now the Democrats are running wild. I said it. Democrats are running wild. The Biden administration. I don't know anything about the Biden administration. I mean, I'm trying to see who they're confirming to cabinet positions, and that's a nightmare too. You know, one person, I forget his name, that's how insignificant they've become. You know, they swear there's no border crisis. I can't even fathom it. Jen Psaki promises, she's been promising for weeks that Joe Biden's going to have a press conference. She gets all snooty with the reporters saying, "Oh, you'll be the first to know because you're a pivotal part of that." They had a body language expert, a few of them, examine her body language while she's on that podium. And they say she's just filled with hate and venom towards the reporters with her smirks. And she's just not well-spoken. Listen, I'm not saying I'm the most well-spoken person, but get a clear thought out. There was I might have mentioned it once before. There was a press conference she did. It might have been February 11th. They timed it, or they counted the times she said in that press conference, and they averaged it, and she said the word like almost every 2 seconds, a little less than every 2 seconds. It was insanity. She can't come out with clear, concise answers. I could rant about her all day long. And nothing gets answered. 6 weeks in the presidency, and nothing, no clear answer on anything from the circle back girl. Nothing. Jen Psaki, that's what she is, the circle back girl. And then she has the balls. Yeah, I said it. Jen Psaki has the balls to say that she'd have no problem taking on Kayleigh McEnany on Fox News in like a debate. Yeah, okay. All right there. Bring your strongest game, all right? These last 6 weeks to me, people, I feel, and listen, again, my opinion. You think I'm wrong, you have a different view, you want to enlighten me, you want to point out something to me, let me know. At this point, you know how to get a hold of me. My email's everywhere, thegreatdivide1776@gmail.com. Drop me an email. Drop me a comment on social media. Comment right on the podcast. You can comment on it. I see everything. I see the likes. I see the comments. I see the downloads. Please hit the download, hit the like, hit the comment. Whether you like me or hate me, I want to hear it. I don't care. Tell me how much of an asshole I am. I'm going to laugh in reading it. But if you're going to tell me I'm an asshole and you're going to tell me why that I'm wrong, then back it up and tell me why. Just don't tell me I'm a fascist, I'm a Republican, I'm a white supremacist, because that's baseless comments, baseless. And if that's just going to be the typical leftist attack, which I've gotten already, I've gotten a lot of it. And you know what it does to me? It makes me realize that what I do and what I say resonates with you people. And you know deep down, I have a point, or people like me have a point. But it hurts and kills you to even disagree a little bit. If you're a Democrat listening to me, or you have a friend that's a Democrat, and when I mean Democrat, I mean extremely left-leaning. There's a difference, okay? Democrats are not bad people. They don't share the same values as I share, as I value conservatism and small government and low taxes and what's mine is mine because I earned it. They're not horrible people. Liberals are not horrible people. The leftists, the radical leftists, you know who I'm talking about. Those are horrible people. And if any of you are listening, yes, you are a horrible individual. You are anti-American. You are a fucking communist. Okay? So you email me, you get me on social media, and give me your all. Because you know what I have to say about cancel culture? Cancel culture, you could shove it up your leftist ass. That's what I say. So, got that out of my system. It's just, I've been attacked the last few days on social media, and it cracks me up over the stupidest things. I asked somebody if they read did you read the HR1 bill? Because I mentioned something, I commented on something, and I was told I was wrong, I was a racist, all kinds of things. And I said, did you read the bill? And they wouldn't answer the question. Did you go in and at least read part of the bill? So I actually sat there and I read a lot of these bills, okay? You know, what else can you do in the bathroom? You always got to read something, right? So they just attack, and it's all baseless comments. They won't engage in a conversation. When you actually try to engage in a conversation, an intelligent conversation, they won't do it. They attack. And then I say something like, well, what has Joe Biden done in the past 6 weeks? What has the administration done besides keep schools closed, not talk to us, and open the border and cause a border crisis and kill jobs by the stroke of a pen? I hate that term, the stroke of a pen, but what else is there? That's what he did. He embraced China. He bombed Syria. He lifted sanctions on Iranian-backed terrorists. Wants to negotiate with Iran. Iran's the bunch of terrorists. He wants to negotiate with them, give them money. Snubbed Israel, one of our, if not our best ally, completely snubs Israel because the Obama-Biden administration had a lot of issues with Israel because they're pieces of shit, meaning the Obama-Biden administration. Canceled jobs, giving money to the World Health Organization, the Paris Accord. I mean, you can go on and on and on and on and on. The radical agenda of this presidency and the left, the radical left, it's nothing that I've ever seen before in my lifetime. I'm 42 years old. Maybe someone a lot older than me have seen this in the past. I haven't heard anything about it, but I feel like this is the most radical agenda of any presidency in U.S. history. I truly believe that. Halfway through his first 100 days, and to me, it's just been a radical disaster. Again, you talk about the COVID relief bill. It's masked to make it look like it's great. It's not. It's shit. It's frivolous spending. It's a waste of money. We're giving money. Money is not going to Americans, people. $1,400 isn't cutting it. $1.9 trillion COVID bill. You would think at least 75% would it be going to the American people, directly into American citizens' pockets to help them pay their mortgage, to pay their rent, to put food on their table, to keep their businesses open. $15 minimum wage. Listen, it's not going to work, people. If you want Target and Amazon to be the only companies left on the face of the earth, raise the minimum wage. AOC made some ridiculous comments. She thinks it should go to $24 a person. I mean, she needs to jump in a lake, that woman. Another one. Democrat socialist. She wants to destroy America. She wants big government. Democrats, radical leftists, they want big government. They want what you and I work very, very hard for every day. They want a piece of it. While they sit home and stuff their face with Hot Pockets and their stupid pink knit hats and do absolutely nothing. Nothing. They give nothing back to society or their community. And they earn nothing and they want what you and I have. Fuck them. It's disgusting. It's just getting to a point. It's aggravating. So, all this unity and healing. Remember, Joe Biden, unity and healing. That's what he wants. After that, he got in on the 20th and he told half the country to go jump off a bridge once he got in that Oval Office. Okay, half the country just, yeah, screw you. We don't need you. I mean, the guy turned around and told millions of Texans that they're Neanderthal thinking. They're Neanderthals. To me, it just shows that he, in one stroke of the pen, he sent minimal FEMA relief for the devastation of the natural disasters from those two winter storms. Yeah, he make myself look good. He opened the shed in the back of the White House, took out 60 generators and like $5 million, and they literally said, oh, 250,000 wool blankets. Take your wool blankets and shove it up your ass and do something. And then he shows up a week later. And then when the Republican governor says, oh, we're going to lift the mask mandate, he makes a comment behind a mask in the Oval Office that, oh, the Texans are thinking like Neanderthals. That's how you're going to belittle Americans. The unity, Joe. Someone's got to wake him up. Maybe he, I don't know, maybe he needs an Adderall. Maybe he, to the point where you maybe throw a mirror down with some bumps on it and let him take a snort, because the guy needs to wake up. He needs something. I don't promote drug use. It's horrible. But another thing is, not only has he not come out and talked to us as Americans, but he's also not coming out condemning the cancel culture of, you know, things that are important in United States history. The whole Dr. Seuss thing, don't get me started on that. It's nonsense. The liberal book burning. I'm probably going to rant on that next. Canceled jobs, the 1776 commission that the Trump administration put in place just to reassure that schools, children in schools, were actually being taught U.S. history as we all know it. And he doesn't come out and condemn the attacking of anyone who has an opposing opinion on what's going on. He sees the he's got to see it. He has to see it. Everyone wants to cancel conservatives. He's fine with that, though. He's fine with that. He doesn't. He wants the unity within his own party, and I don't believe he knows what his party's about anymore. I don't believe it. Again, moderate Joe just went to radical Joe, and that's it. You know, he went ahead and condoned the Dr. Seuss canceling of six books. I call it the liberal book burning, because that's what it is. And then somebody says, well, no, they just decided to stop publishing six books. They're just not going to make them anymore. So that's how you sugarcoat the liberal book burning party? That's how you're going to try to sell it to me? Do you think we're all morons? You do think we're all morons. So that's your mentality. Well, we're not. Someone with half a brain knows that a Dr. Seuss book isn't damaging or affecting negatively, 0% affecting negatively anybody's life. But President Obama or Michelle Obama can embrace Dr. Seuss. Kamala Harris in 2017 can embrace Dr. Seuss. We're facing a cultural collapse, people. That's what it is. Six books just out of circulation, not being published. What I like, though, is that when they started talking about this, that the Amazon, the book sales were up unbelievable amounts on, I believe it was like 40, it was like 40-something books was on Amazon's top book sales list. You can't cancel something because you don't like it. And again, Dr. Seuss books have impact zero lives negatively. And if, again, you're going to prove me wrong, come back with facts. Prove me wrong. You cannot. That argument can't be broken. Dr. Seuss books have impacted zero lives negatively. You're offended by a book? Don't read it. Don't read it. Don't pick it up. Don't buy it. Mein Kampf. Mein Kampf and The Communist Manifesto is still available readily online on Amazon. Both. You can buy them, no problem. Why isn't the left demanding that those books be pulled from shelves and just not available anymore? Well, they're part of U.S. history. I don't believe they should be pulled from the shelves. I don't. Just like I don't believe six books from Dr. Seuss should just stop being published. It's ridiculous. They've collapsed to the left, radical left pressure. And again, it's just causing the cultural collapse of our country. It's destroying the fabric of America. But with that being said, we're going to take six books out of circulation. And don't give me the excuse as well that they just won't be read in schools. Just like Cardi B's song, WAP, Wet Ass Beep, you know? I don't want to say the word, even though it's uncensored. I think it's just disgusting. That song by that disgusting pig, Cardi B, was number one song in 2020. And tell me your elementary school kids on the bus didn't hear that song. Tell me your middle school kids on the bus or with their friends didn't hear that song. Didn't bop their heads or dance to that song. Because if you think that, you're in a goddamn bubble. Number one song in 2020, and we're worried about Dr. Seuss books. Go look up the lyrics of Cardi B. I posted them on the podcast Facebook page. I posted the lyrics. And it almost makes you just want to throw up in your mouth. Western culture in general, by the radical left, is being canceled. Because, again, it offends a leftist ankle biter. Yes, that's what I'm going to call them. Shakespeare, classical music, Mark Twain's Huckleberry Finn, To Kill a Mockingbird. They put a content warning on the Muppets. But Cardi B's okay. You load that song right into your iPod, phone, iTunes, where this podcast is available, iTunes, Spotify, you know, iHeartRadio. So you can get The Great Divide with Alan Jacoby, hear me rant about politics, and then you could swipe over and get Cardi B and her number one song of 2020, WAP. 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 That's what they call it, right? WAP. WAP. I have yet to listen to the whole song. I just read the lyrics, and that's all I needed. In 2000, what's great, though, is 2016. There's a video of it. I have this posted on the podcast Facebook page also. Obama described Dr. Seuss as one of America's revered wordsmiths. Okay? Revered wordsmiths. Dr. Seuss used his incredible talent to instill in his most impressionable readers universal values we all hold dear. That is from President Obama in 2016. While he was president, he gave a speech to, I believe it was, college kids or high school kids, about everything you need, basically you need in life is in Dr. Seuss. That video is up on the podcast Facebook page. Michelle Obama had a Dr. Seuss party. She had thing one, thing two, the whole costume, like it was a Disney character, the Cat in the Hat. All the kids had the Dr. Seuss hats on, and she sat there and she read the book, talked about how great it was. Kamala Harris, 2017, you know, big tweet praising Dr. Seuss on his birthday. Hypocritical nonsense. And now because of this, and even with all the hypocrisy around it, they just want American culture to collapse, the radical left. It's ridiculous, people. Let me circle back for a minute. I want to talk more about this border crisis that doesn't exist, according to the Biden administration and the people in it, and depending on what sick radical left window licker you talk to. There's no border crisis. Everything's fine. All these people, you know, come on in, we'll help. We're going to open the border. We're going to stop the building of the border wall. We're going to, we're going to, you know, keep catching these people and then releasing them back into our country, unchecked, untested, unvetted. Oh yeah, well here, you have to go for a hearing in 3 months and they never show up. That's what, these are the things the Trump administration stopped. Hate them, love them, like them, don't like them. President Trump put in policies that he felt put America first. And you want to know something? Most of America felt the same way. They were appreciative of the policies he put in place that put America first. He knew we had a border crisis. And don't cry about, oh, he put kids in cages. No, he utilized the cages that Obama built, which now are reopened, and the Biden administration's reusing them because they are up. It was almost like 97% capacity right now at the border because these people are coming in hundreds of thousands. Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador. There's right now, there's, how did they all get these Biden t-shirts south of the border? Biden, let us in, with signs. I mean, is Kamala Harris, was she at the border wall with one of those t-shirt cannons shooting them over the border? Hey, put these on. I got a CNN photographer here. We're going to take pictures. This is going to be great. It's going to hit the heart and soul of the nation, and everyone is going to be okay with it. No, we're not. Logical Americans that know this is a problem, and it's not only a problem for us and our country and our economy. It's a problem for them because now they're overrunning. Local communities are now going to be ridden with crime along the border. Disease is going to run rampant because they're bringing it in. There isn't enough health care down there. The facilities are not big enough for the amount of people coming that they're letting in. Okay? Thousands. You know, we give hundreds of million dollars to Central America a year. They break it up among the countries down there. I'd love to know where that money's going because we give them money and they send people. It's almost like, I almost feel like, my wife made a joke that, she made a joke, are the Democrats, are they buying slaves? And I looked at her, I said, what? I said, yeah, well, we give all that money to them and they just send people over. Like we're buying these people. And I'm like, oh, maybe the Democrats are buying these people to load them into the DMV, pass this HR 1 election reform, get them registered as Democrats, and then they can strengthen their party. Sounds crazy, but is it possible? Anything's possible, and it's politics. What we know and what's reported, you know, is that really what's going on? You know, believe nothing you hear and half of what you see. Just remember those words. So all that money, where is it going? Because thousands of migrants are still coming to the border from Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, and they're coming to escape violence, poverty, instability of their country. I mean, poor, like heavy poverty. That's what they're escaping. They come into the land of opportunity, which I do not have a problem with, but there is a process. We have an immigration process. And the same person that comes from Guatemala should have to go through the same immigration process as the person from Germany, as the person from the Ukraine, as the person from Canada. There's an immigration process. No one should be skipping lines and just being brought in, thrown in a tent, and then thrown into the country to possibly have disease or something else or a criminal. We don't know. There's a process. Again, and we just keep pouring money into these countries. And migrants are just still coming in droves. So the money that we're sending isn't doing much to stop the violence and the poverty and the instability of governments, because they're all still coming here to get away from it. So where is our money going? You know, I don't care what anybody says, but President Trump was not wrong back, I think it was September of 2019. He froze the $400 million relief package there. I would have done it. Why are we sending this money? What is it for? Where is it going? And again, the facilities at the border, they're at almost capacity. They're almost busting at the seams. It's going to become inhumane very quickly. People are going to get sick, disease, or worse, die. Not to mention the criminals that are coming. Because of course criminals are going to come here. This is the land of opportunity. This is the best place for a migrant criminal to come and commit crimes in this country. Because most of the time, depending on where they commit these crimes, they're going to be arrested. And now they know they're not going to be deported. They might be in a place where there's cashless bail, like in New York. I'm in New York. You know, you can commit a host of crimes and be home in time for dinner. I could burn my neighbor's house down. I could strangle my mom. I can download 100,000 photos of kiddie porn. And kick a police dog. Get arrested, and I'll be home in time for dinner. No bail. Imagine? That's New York people. And other states are starting to adopt that. So why wouldn't these migrants want to come here and commit crimes? Why wouldn't these migrants not want to... Why would they not want to come here? I mean, they can come. They can sex traffic children, human trafficking. Another thing. What's our federal government doing about the human trafficking issue, the sex trafficking issue? What are we doing to protect our children? Nothing. It's not being heard of. Why isn't Congress working together doing something instead of fighting about dominating election systems and bullshit COVID bills? Why aren't we having real talk about real issues? The border crisis. Stop saying there's no border crisis. Right now, the Biden administration caused one of the largest border crises that's going on right now, and he did it in less than a month in office. Sex trafficking. Any type of trafficking of humans, and not just Hispanics, Asians, whatever it is. American girls. What are we doing about that? How come no one is making noise about sex trafficking? All of these congressmen. In the same speech as your even the Republicans, as you're promoting free speech and free thinking, and well, let's do more to fight children sex trafficking. So $16 billion to bail out some farmers because of the color of their skin. Why aren't we putting $16 billion into establishing the most aggressive, largest children's sex crimes and human trafficking task force that there ever was. You want to form a Gestapo? Let's form the sex trafficking Gestapo. Instead, members of Congress want to pass bills to hire 200 extra ATF agents for firearm enforcement. How about 20,000 federal agents to battle sex crimes against children, you pompous asses? No one wants to talk about it. Oh, but let's sign the Equality Act because the transgenders and homosexuals are offended and don't realize that they're covered under human rights, civil rights, and the Fair Housing Act. No, let's pass a bill for that because feelings matter, because everything is about fucking feelings. But how about the feelings of those kids that are being, their lives are being destroyed because of sexual predators and the federal government's doing nothing? And I'm convinced the federal government is doing nothing. I almost feel like they're facilitating it. With these migrants, America has become the new crazy cat lady. America is the house on your block, the hoarder house, where the crazy cat lady lives there. Everybody knows her. Oh, yeah, the cat lady down the block. She has 100 cats, and they're always finding a dead one buried under some trash. That's what America's becoming. I'm not calling migrants trash. It's a similarity. There's a process to do it. And if we keep getting overrun, it's inhumane for them and it's unsafe for us. Come here legally. Don't come and bang on the fences with a Biden shirt on, let us in, or crawl over. Or worse, drive an SUV, a Ford Expedition. It seats 8, I think, comfortably. An SUV, Ford Expedition, with 25 migrants in it. I won't call it a clown car. Okay, I will. Clown car. 25 migrants comes crashing through a hole in the border wall, gets into an accident with a tractor trailer, comes through onto American soil, I believe. It happened on our side. 13 dead. I'm surprised it's not more. 25 people in this SUV, which doesn't surprise me. I mean, they're very creative on how they get in the border. They hide in dashboards. I don't know how they do it. But 25 people, 13 died. Senseless. The borders are open and everybody knows it. Because the Democrats need the votes. They need to strengthen their party. So yeah, we've become the new crazy cat lady. That's what America is. And we're just going to hoard cats until they start dying in these facilities. Or worse, just causing havoc. They're releasing migrants into the country that never going to show up for hearings. And again, end up in a DMV. Here's a license. Vote here. Sign here. Congratulations, you're a Democrat. Thanks, HR1. Go vote Democrat. This border crisis. It's a crisis to our country. It's not a crisis to the left. They love this because this is the biggest Democrat voter registration drive in modern U.S. history. This is Biden's open border. The biggest Democratic Party voter registration drive in modern U.S. history. You will not convince me otherwise, but you can try. Listen, there's a lot of radical legislation going on. You got to pay attention. It's all over the news. Flip it on. Just go to congress.gov. Turn on the radio. Listen to me rant. Listen to other podcasts. They're not gonna censor me. They're not gonna cancel me. They're not gonna shut me up. The only way of shutting me up is putting a round in my head. It's the only way it'll shut me up. And there are plenty of other people like me with platforms like this. You can't get information from mainstream media. You know, you can't even get information from a lot of right-leaning media as well. You have to look at it all. And then you actually got to go and dig and think for yourself. When somebody tells me that a fact is debunked because the New York Times debunked it on Sunday, and I said, did you read the bill? New York Times is telling you they debunked it, and that's what you're going to come back at me at when I have the facts that I read in the bill? It's dangerous where people are getting their information from. pay attention. There's a lot more stuff coming. There's two major gun grab House resolutions that are coming through next week. It's H.R. 8 and H.R. 1446 with universal background checks and all that. It's happening, people. It's starting. Call your senators. Call your congressmen. You may not think it makes a difference, but if you're not doing it and you're sitting there just watching it happen and then it happens, you can't say that you tried. You can't say that you didn't fight. You didn't have a voice. If you don't care, then well, obviously, if you don't care, you shouldn't even be listening to me. If you're offended at what I say, don't listen to me, because I'm gonna tell it like it is and how I feel, whether you agree or not. If you agree, great. If not, whatever. Tell me. I'm open to discussion. Always open to discussion. That's it for a rant. Today's Friday, so I wanted to get my Friday weekly rant out. There's some pretty cool stuff happening, actually. The podcast has been just me, you know, ranting and talking about different things, my opinions, you know, based on the facts that I read. I'm going to be doing some interviews, changing it up. I have a few lined up with some really interesting people. I'm not going to say who they are. Two of them are involved in two different major political movements that have just taken off locally and nationally, and they're turning a lot of heads. They're breaking ground and they're doing a lot of good things. Both organizations. I'm also going to be doing a interview with a Hollywood director who just released a new documentary on a very prominent political figure that we all know. We've all come to know well over the past 5 years. I'm pretty excited about that. So next week they're going to be some interview episodes released, and there might even be videos with them also on YouTube. It's really exciting. I got a big weekend ahead, but watch out for that. Listen, I appreciate all the support I've been getting. It's amazing. I think I've reached 40 states, a few different countries. People are giving me a lot of good feedback. I'm getting a lot of hits on the podcast Facebook page, The Great Divide, Instagram. People from all over the country that are reaching out and liking what they're hearing. Listen, I'm just an average American, just sharing my view. An average American with the balls to get on and start a podcast and not care what anybody thinks, and just talk. And if you like to hear me talk, and I hope you do, I'm going to keep talking. You're not going to shut me up. All right, people. Until next time, be safe. Take care of yourselves. You see a police officer on the street, you thank them for what they do. Buy them a cup of coffee. You see them in Dunkin' Donuts. Law enforcement is our first line of defense. Our military, who protects us every day, here and overseas. You know, a veteran, an active service member, you make sure you thank these people. It's important. I'm not trying to preach. It's important. This is what America is all about. Not making them stand somewhere by a barbed wire fence at our U.S. Capitol feeding them raw chicken and metal shavings. Right? That's what Fancy Nancy has going on in D.C. Oh, I got to stop. I'll start ranting about that for hours. All right. People, until next time, enjoy your weekend. I'll talk to you soon. God bless you and God bless America. You can reach out to me with opinions and ideas for other episodes at thegreatdivide1776@gmail.com. You can also find me on social media at The Great Divide Podcast. And please be sure to leave a review for this podcast so the show can be shared to other listeners. Thank you and God bless America.